blanket and some sunblock. It's time for lying on the beach on camera. Lois and Steve.
Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach on Camera. I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And as you can see, engineer David is not with us today, but he'll be back in a future episode. But what we're talking about today is something that, even though we're both on the beach, we're talking about New York City. There have been all these articles out there about the death and dying of New York City because of the pandemic. The New York Post did a very big piece about it. And I can tell you, as one who's actually in New York City, despite my background, I'm in New York City. It is alive and well and coming back, and not nearly as bad as it was in the 1970s. So that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit. Lois, what's your take on all this doom and gloom for New York City, and everybody's, you know, calling the priest and the rabbi to get the ground and start digging a hole? What's your thoughts?
It's amazing, because every day I read all of the New York papers, first thing in the morning before 7 a.m. And depending on who's writing, that's the view I get for the day. There's some days everybody's moving out. The moving companies are record-breaking sales. New Jersey, Connecticut, Florida, booming in house sales and everything. And then I'm thinking, okay, everybody's leaving New York City. Then 10 minutes later, I read another story saying, vibrancy has come back to New York City. The restaurants are getting people. The streets are crowded. You know, Times Square at night is just like it was. Broadway should come back. We're going to support it, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. The only thing I know is living in the heart of New York City for over 40 years is that nothing is going to kill that town. Everyone could, you know, talk about why it's dying, but it's just like having shingles. You just have to wait until it goes away. There's an outburst, it itches, it burns, you take your medicine, you talk to your doctors, and then it just, like, little by little, you wake up and say, oh my God, the whole thing is gone. I'm back to who I was. Life is grand, it's great. The same thing is gonna happen with New York City. There's not a doubt in my mind. People could go to the burbs. They're gonna be totally bummed out by the boredom. The crickets are gonna drive them crazy. And they're gonna come back, because to my musical ears, the sirens, garbage cans clanging, police, somebody screaming murder, that's music to my ears.
And it's very New York. And I have to say, I'm here in the city, and I see, you can look at the same 9th Avenue, and you can see, oh, that store's gone. Or you can say, oh my gosh, these folks have created this outdoor dining space in a parking lot, and it's absolutely beautiful, and you go crazy over it. And then you can look down the street, and you can see something else that's really amazing. It's really how you look at it. You can see the glass half full or half empty. And again, having lived through that in the 1970s, living in New Jersey at the time and coming to New York all the time, New York was a mess, an absolute mess in the 1970s and part of the 80s, and then came back, and it will do it again. I have no doubt that New York will not only come back, but it'll be better than ever. And, you know, a lot of the rich have left, and okay, good, let them go. When things are better, they'll come back. You know, I don't blame them. They don't like to suffer through anything, so let them all go and have their lives. But once we clean up the place and it's back to where it was, they'll all come back and raise our rents and whatnot. So that's what's going to happen. I'm very optimistic that New York will be back where it was. And these doom and gloom articles from the Post and whatnot are so depressing. I mean, first of all, the Post is foolish. They need advertisers from New York, and yet they're like dumping on New York. They should be looking for those silver linings. Jerry Seinfeld wrote a great piece, a few other papers have come out with really good pieces about New York, and New York is coming back. So we're not lying on the beach here. We're in the city telling you it's coming back. That's
so,
my take.
You know, I mean, as you could hear from my voice, I'm a diehard New Yorker, and there's nothing like New Yorkers. Right now, I'm in Miami Beach because I'm old and I need, you know, warm weather most of the time, but my husband and I go to New York every few weeks. We stay in hotels. We're happy there. Maybe someday we'll buy something again. I don't think we will because it's just our age and the investment and stuff like that. But you can't beat a New Yorker for surviving. Down here in Miami, people are not necessarily wearing masks. They want to pretend that this doesn't exist, that, you know, you'll get the virus, but I won't. I'm strong and healthy. You're vulnerable. You worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. Or as a doctor who I adore said, survival of the fittest. You know, so if you could figure out a way not to get the virus, good luck to you. Screw everyone else. I think that was his interpretation because he only sent me an email. So that's just the way. In New York, people are very accommodating and gracious and cordial to each other. They see each other on a sidewalk. First of all, they're wearing their masks. They step to the side. They wave. They smile. They wish you well. The doormen, all the service people couldn't be happier that we're all employed, we're working, we're healthy, we'll be together till, you know, we'll live to a ripe old age together. That's the attitude of New York. It was that way after 9/11. You know, if somebody saw me walking down the street and hesitating, which I often do because I was old at the age of 3, Hell's Angel, the blind, pregnancy, everything came over. Can I help you? And they helped me down the step or the curb. And I would laugh to myself because I looked like I needed help. And here, you know, some of the Latino men are very accommodating, but everybody else, kick me right in the ass. Get lost, you fatso pig. Get off our streets. You're ruining the image. Get lost. Get the virus and die.
And New York has people think, oh, it's everybody's rough in New York. If you've never been to New York, you think, oh, it's a really tough place. And it's tough around the edges. But the true New Yorkers are actually very helpful, giving people. You know, if you stumble or something, they're there to help you out. And just how they're doing this restaurant thing is so great. The way these restaurants, who are already been under siege, who haven't made money in months, have now been given these little pieces of space on the street that they're carved out, and they've created walls and a floor, and they put lights in, and they bring in colored tables and flags and music and do whatever they can to try to lure you to the restaurant and your money out of your pocket, which is lovely. I mean, the capitalism is alive and well in New York, and these restaurant owners are being creative to really, really make it work. Nobu, which is a famous upscale place, you wouldn't believe what they have set up out there. It's nicer than the inside restaurant. You know, the Smith, the same thing. They're all going crazy. They put flowers up. They do whatever they can to make it look beautiful. And to, again, it's all about that vibrance, that capitalism, that we're alive, we're going to get through this. And like you said, they got through 9/11, the economic downturn earlier in the 2000s and back in the 1970s, you know, Mayor Koch begged Reagan for aid. He said, no way. We still made it. So, you know, I think America is more in love with New York than it was even then. And it's going to just, New York is going to just thrive one more time. And Broadway, people have been burying Broadway since I was a kid. It's dead and dying. It's not going to last. Live theater. And people love it. It will come back. It'll be better than ever. I'm sure of it.
So the good news is that out of this pandemic, people have gone into the digital world that was evolving with people that were involved in tech. People that weren't involved in tech are now seeing all the great capabilities of the art of the possible. It's great. So just the other day, I got an email from my girlfriend, Janet Rosen, who's very involved with theater. Primary Stages is going to be doing all these digital productions, some readings, some productions. It was in Playbill, the whole variety of acts. I can't wait to see it. So therefore, in the future, you know, if it's, you know, for whatever reason, we're traveling and we want to see a production, we're going to go, it's going to be second nature to us and very accepting to go online to have access to things that we couldn't have before. I mean, one of the big considerations of moving to Miami was, oh my God, I can't walk to Broadway and I'm not going to be able to see all of the stuff I saw before. But guess what? Regional theater, I saw Hamilton. I saw, you know, a few shows, I forgot. Regional theater, it was wonderful. I just had to get it out of my brain that when I walked outside the theater, I wasn't going to get hit over the head by some bum. I was going to get into my Lyft or my Uber and go be home in 5 seconds. But it's expanded my world of the universe. I don't think Iowa is, you know, backward anymore. It has all the digital advantages of everyone else. Europe, you know, Canada, South America. You could be any place and feel you're on 33rd and 3rd. You know, the
we're on like an even playing field. Assuming you have Wi-Fi and enough right. money for a device, you're able to connect to the world and the world can connect to you, which is pretty amazing. I did see this morning on television, they had a regional production of Godspell, and they made the stage with plexiglass walls, and the audience was spread out, and they were able to sing to each other, but when it was all staged, so there was always a wall between the actors, but they were clear glass, very thin, clear walls, so it didn't really, it was kind of a creative way of doing it. The lighting was very cool, and their love songs were still being done between these plexiglass things. I mean, again, I don't think the world's going to settle on that forever, but for this moment in time, again, ingenuity, just like those restaurants outside, really are coming to, it's invigorating.
The digital word is adapting.
They're adapting. The world is adapting, and New York is usually first in everything and is first on the adapting front as well. I think we've given a good cheer for New York. I hope New York is listening. We love you, New York. We're with you, New York. Yes, New York. And don't count it out. Don't hire a rabbi or a priest for New York yet. Don't dig a hole. It's going to be just fine. So just hang in there. So once again, I'm Steve Greenberg, and I'm with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And the two of us have been lying on the beach. So long.
On camera.
On camera, of course.